Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Welcome to worship at Village Baptist Church. I trust you all had a wonderful 4th of July, although a little hot, but I hope everyone had a chance to celebrate our freedom. If you're a first-time visitor with us this morning, we're especially happy to have you worshiping with us, and if you're online, we're glad that you chose to worship with us today. Now we're going to stand and we're going to greet each other, and if there's someone you don't know, seek them out and welcome them to worship at Village this morning. Let's all stand. Start the announcements. If you are new to us today, or any of you, if you want to pick up this red folder and sign in and let us know that you're here worshiping with us, pass it down and then pass it back. We'll have a record of your attendance with us today. Okay, for the announcements today. On Monday, there's going to be a deacons meeting at 7 p.m. on Zoom. On Tuesday, a missions commission meeting at 7 on Zoom, and on Thursday, a church council meeting at 7 on Zoom. And so if you're in any one of those meetings or all of those meetings, then you're warned about them coming up this week. Our summer mission project for the autistic program at Pointer Ridge is ongoing, and the items are due back on August 4th. There is a list on the bulletin board out in the hall over here, but there's also papers with list on it in front of the poster that was made, and you can grab one of those and take it home with you. If you have not had an opportunity to look in the parlor, which is the first room on the left over here, take a look in there at some of the items that have already been brought in. There's a lot of really nice things that are going to Pointer Ridge. The nominating survey is due back by July 15th. There are some on the back table, and you can pick that up and bring it next week. Can you give somebody a ride in the morning to bring them to church? There's a sign-up sheet on the bulletin board out on the right over here as you go out the door, and you can sign up to help get someone to Village for worship. Let's see. Ken Fisher has an announcement now.
Well, good morning. As many of you might have noticed, we have something new here in the sanctuary today. Today marks the debut appearance of our newly purchased Paramount cloth sets. And the purchase was approved at the May business meeting, and they were purchased using memorial funds. So what a wonderful application of those funds to adorn our sanctuary today. So, what is a paramount? And I must mention there are a number of ways to say that. I've heard paramount, 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 and paramount. I'll go with the term paramount. And as you're going to discover, there are just about as many ways to say it as there are colors that adorn the church season. And you can think of these paraments as the counterpart of vestments, or like the priestly robe. But in this case, instead of clothing a person, they clothe or vest the central furnishings. And in our case, it's the altar and the pulpit. There are five basic colors, and each one representing a different season during the church year. Today we have green on display, and I'll explain that in just a moment. We also have blue, white, purple, and red. And you will see those on display at various times during the church year. Green, the color that we have today, is also the color of the vestment or the stole worn by Reverend Stephanie today, and that is no coincidence. It is the color of the season of ordinary time. Ordinary time is any time of the church year that falls between Easter and Advent and between Christmas and Lent. Don't worry about it. We'll get it straight. Carlin's already getting the calendar on order so that we will have the proper paramenta in place for the proper time of year. But this is ordinary time. The color green symbolizes life, hope, and anticipation. And for any additional details, if you're so inclined, please do refer to the article that was published in the July edition that goes into a little bit more depth and has some wonderful photos of the different paraments that we'll have on display during the church year. So thank you very much, and amen.
Amen. Mm-hmm. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad.
Good morning, saints and servants.
Good morning.
Good morning. It's good to be in the house of the Lord one more time. We thank God for his many, many blessings and for a reasonable portion of health and strength and just the unction to get up out of bed and come in person to worship. And for those who are worshiping online, you are first-class worshipers too. We appreciate you for tuning in, and God bless you for being with us today. I am grateful to stand behind this sacred desk again this week in the absence of Pastor Joel. We will get some updates on him during our prayer time. But I really am appreciative of the opportunity to be before you. I want to tell you about my vestment. This is an ordination gift from Village Baptist Church. For those of you who do not know that, I am the first person to fully be ordained at this church. And so you are forever in my heart. God bless you. This is my home, and we have journeyed far together, and who knows what God has in store for us down the road. But it is a pleasure and a privilege to be before you again this morning. We will now have our community time for sharing our joys and concerns. We will mute the lines at this point. If there's someone who is worshiping with us virtually, if you would put your prayer requests in the chat, we will be sure to include you in our community time. All right? All right. Prayers of the people. Are we yet alive to see each other's face? Glory and praise to Jesus give for his redeeming grace. Gracious and eternal God, we thank you and we praise you for who you are, the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the sovereign God that you are. We thank you, O Lord, for being our God. We thank you for keeping us day in and day out, and for this opportunity to gather together once again to worship you in spirit and in truth. Freedom in worship is a gift that we have in this country, and we need not take it for granted. There are churches and people all over the world who do not have the opportunity to gather as we do. Our hearts and minds go to them, and we ask you to console them and be present with them as well as we worship here together in freedom and in truth. Your people have come to you, O Lord, with many things on their hearts and their minds. We have praises of improved health. We have praises for improved situations and families. We have praises that things are, again, as well as they are. We thank you for returning our friends from faraway places and for new beginnings for some of our members, and that we get to celebrate the joys of life together, as well as the sorrows and the trials. Oh Lord, you know that many of us among us are sick in our bodies, in our minds, and the struggle with aging is real, the struggle with drugs and illicit compounds in our society is real. And they are hurtful and they're heavy, the things that we have to endure here on earth. But we know that you are an abiding presence in every situation. And we ask you, O Lord, that you would give us the strength, the faith, the fortitude to be present for those that need our assistance, our prayers, our physical support. Help us not to be selfish with our time and to support those who need our support. We ask you to help us to be the church, not only here in worship for this 1 hour or a few hours that we are together, but on the other 6 days that we are not here. The world needs us to show up in ways and places like never before. If we never needed the Lord, we sure do need him now. Help us to be the eyes, the ears, the hands, the feet of Jesus Christ here in our world today. Worship helps us to build up our spiritual muscles. And this time is for our replenishment and our renewal. Your presence is here. We've already felt it from the kisses and the hugs and the kind words that we have experienced. And we look forward to worshiping with you for these few minutes. May we put away all the cares of the world and focus on the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. This time is yours. We love you, Lord. We love you for sending your son, Jesus Christ, to be our Savior. We're grateful. We are thankful. Help us to stay strong and be mighty. We love you, Lord. And now, as forgiven and reconciled people, we will now recite together the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Kids would like to come on up.
Good morning. Welcome to Children's Story. I'm glad you're here. Of course, I'm not here. I'm in Philadelphia this morning. But you're here, and I'm on the screen. So let's have Children's Story. We just celebrated an important holiday, Independence Day, the 4th of July. And that celebrates the Declaration of Independence, of being free of the England and the King. But I wanted to talk today a little bit about one of those important freedoms, especially as Christians and as Baptists. Early in our republic, Thomas Jefferson, who wrote the Declaration of Independence, was very concerned of keeping religion and the state separate. He wrote a letter to the Danbury Baptists in Connecticut, and that's the first time we see this idea of separation of church and state. Now, that may seem like a complicated idea, but basically, it's the church does what the church does, and the state does what the state does, and they don't tell each other what to do. Now, the Baptists actually came to this country, many of them came to this country, because they were trying to escape the oppression in England. The Church of England, which was headed by the king, everyone in England had to worship in the Church of England. They were forced to. So if you weren't Christian, or you didn't believe in God, or you were Jewish, or whatever, you were not free to do that. You were not free to believe as you chose. And the Baptists came here. Roger Williams started the first Baptist church in North America in Providence, Rhode Island, after he was expelled from the Massachusetts Bay Colony by the Puritan leaders there. They didn't like the way he worshiped. Now, the separation of church and state means that the state should not tell churches and synagogues and others how they should worship or that they should worship at all. And it means that the churches and synagogues and other believers should not tell the state what to do. They should be separate. Now, that's an important principle in our country, but it's also an important Baptist principle. In the Baptist church, we talk about soul freedom, and that means we have the freedom to worship as we choose, if we choose, and that our relationship to God goes straight to God. It's a personal relationship. It's not there for anybody else to tell us how to worship. A simple example is football teams. People cheer for different football teams. Some people cheer for the Washington Commanders. Others cheer for the Baltimore Ravens. And still others cheer for teams like the Steelers, the Cowboys, the Titans. And then there are other people who don't cheer at all. Me, I'm not much of a football fan. And I'm free not to do that, of course, just like other people are free to choose who they cheer for. Well, even though this is sort of simple, it's a lot like this choice that we have to worship, how to worship.
Thanks for joining me.
Good morning, church. Last couple of weeks have been a lot of highs and lows and navigating through decisions that I can control and not control. And I know I needed this song to help me keep focused on what I should be focusing on. So I get to deliver that and minister to you and to me in song.
The blood that Jesus shed for me way back on Calvary, the blood that gives me strength from day to day, it will never to the highest mountain, and it flows to the lowest valley. The blood that gives me strength from day to day, it will never. and it calms all my fears, and it dries away all my tears. The blood that gives me strength from day to day, it will never lose its power, for it reaches to the highest mountain and it flows to the
gift, Renee. The scripture this morning comes from the book of Mark, chapter 6, 1 through 13. He left that place and came to his hometown, and his disciples followed him. On the Sabbath, he began to teach in the synagogue, and many who heard him were astounded. They said, "Where did this man get all this? What is this wisdom that has been given to him? What deeds of power are being done by his hands? Is not this the carpenter, the son of Mary and brother of James and Joseph and Judas and Simon? And are not his sisters here with us?" And they took offense at him. Then Jesus said to them, "Prophets are not without honor except in their hometown and among their own kin and in their own house." And he could do no deed of power there, except that he laid his hands on a few sick people and cured them. And he was amazed at their unbelief. Then he went about among the villages teaching. He called the 12 and began to send them out two by two and gave them authority over the unclean spirits. He ordered them to take nothing for their journey except a staff, no bread, no bag, no money in their belts, but to wear sandals and not to put on two tunics. He said to them, "Whenever you enter a house, stay there until you leave the place. If any place will not welcome you and they refuse to hear you, as you leave, shake off the dust that's on your feet as a testimony against them." So they went out and proclaimed that all should repent. They cast out many demons and anointed with oil many who were sick and cured them. May God give us understanding of this, his holy word.
It's preaching time. All right now. Will you pray with me? Master, speak. Thy servant heareth. I am listening, Lord, for thee. What hast thou to say to me? And now, O God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts together be found acceptable in your sight. You, Lord, are our rock, our redeemer, and our one certain and sure foundation. May your word go forth to and for your people today. May it do what only the word of God can do. May it soothe, correct, edify, and other ways permeate the lives of these your people. This prayer I lift in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. I am a book lover. If you go to my house, you will see books everywhere. I love shopping for books. I love looking at the books that I've purchased. They make me feel so smart when I have all these books around me. I'm inspired by the creativity and of the authors and their unique perspectives and the unique ways that authors have of putting their thoughts on paper. Yes, I have many books, but most of the books I have not even read. I might read a chapter or two and then say, I'm going to get back to that. But most of them I have not even read. I have plenty for my retirement when I move to my retirement village and have plenty of time. I already have lots of books. But I have some books that I have read, and a few have changed my life in ways that are hard to describe. One such book is titled The Purpose-Driven Life. It was popular a couple of decades ago, and I can say without a doubt that that book changed my life. I read it with a group at the church I was a member of at the time. We read it between Easter and Pentecost. The color for Pentecost is red and orange. And it was life-changing. I thank God for Rick Warren, the author, and his faithfulness in discerning and disseminating the word of God. He used many different translations of the Bible. It was profound. That book sold over 50 million copies and has been translated into over 100 languages. One of the best books written outside of the Good Book in our lifetime. In the first chapter, on the first page of the book, the author Rick Warren wrote, "It's not about you." That's the opening line of the first chapter of the first book. First line, first chapter. That first paragraph ends, "If you want to know why you are on the planet, you must begin with God. I were born by God's purpose and for God's purpose." When I was asked to fill in for today and I meditated on the scripture, this is what popped out of me, just like, this is what you need to say for the people. When I preach to you, I preach to me as well. And one of the joys of preaching is that I get to minister to myself. I have to be intentional about ministering to myself as I'm preparing. That is a gift from God. And then I get to share it with you. But that's what God gave me as I read the scripture and prepared this message. Village uses this text comes from the lectionary. And the lectionary is also a part of the Christian calendar. And it is a way to systematically make sure that the major themes of the Bible are heard in a sequential order. And so Village is has the discipline of using the Christian calendar. Not all churches do, but we have elected to do so. And I think it's wonderful. I think it's a good discipline. So as a result, we had a robust discussion in Sunday school this morning about the same topic. And now, as the Spirit has given me some more to add to this robust teaching. So here we find, can you put the scripture up there, Dave? Oh, no problem. Okay, no problem. But if you were listening carefully, I could tell you that verses 1 through 6, verse 6 was the trigger for me. And it says, he was amazed at their unbelief. They went about and among, and then even though he was surprised about the disbelief of the people, Jesus still went on about his business, doing what he needed to do. And so the gist of it is that Jesus was living in his purpose. That's what I see. Jesus had a purpose. Jesus came to do what Jesus was called to do, and that's what he was about. Let me just read. I'm going to read this again. See, it's good to have your notes. He left the place and came to his hometown, and his disciples followed him. On the Sabbath, he began to teach in the synagogues, and many who heard him were astounded. They said, "Where did this man get all this? What is this wisdom that has been given to him? What deeds of power are being done by his hand? Is this not the carpenter, the son of Mary, and the brother James and Judas and Simeon, and not or is not his sisters with him?" And they took offense at him. Then Jesus said to them, "Prophets are not without honor except in their hometown and among their own kin and in their own house." And he couldn't do any deeds of power except that he laid hands on a few sick people and cured them. And verse 6, which is the pivotal point here, and he was amazed at their unbelief. Then, anyway, he went up about the villages teaching. Pivotal point here. Jesus came, and Jesus knew what his purpose was. Jesus found himself in an unreceptive audience, in an unreceptive situation, but Jesus did what Jesus came to do. Jesus, the Son of God, Son of Man, both human and divine, knew his purpose. Jesus knew that he came so that we could have life and have it more abundantly now and in eternity. We don't have to wait until we die to have a full life. Do y'all know that? We have an abundant life now. And Jesus came to save us while we were yet sinners, and that proves God's love for us. Jesus knew his purpose. Jesus held on to his purpose. Even in this situation where he was dissed, anybody ever been dissed? Insulted? Anybody ever been insulted? And put down even by his own people. And I'm going to tell you a hurt that's really bad is when you get insulted by your own people. We have a family reunion every year, and I love my family. But when I go with my family, they want to put me back to who I was a long time ago. I still love them. You know what I'm saying? I still love them. But it's like, oh, that's Steph. Yeah, I'm Steph. But I am a child of God. I am serving the Lord. And they just need to see me in a different light. I'm getting off topic. But anyway, you know what I'm talking about. Sometimes when you get around your family, they see you in a particular light. And it's very hard for you to elevate yourself in certain settings. That's what I saw. Yet, Jesus' actions and response teach us how to go high when others go low. Jesus shows us how to walk away from those who disappoint us and or those who are not ready to receive the good news. As I said, mistreatment is amplified in family situations or in situations where we expect people to act better. Sometimes other people's perceptions can can weigh us down and keep us from living in our purpose. But if we remember what? It ain't about us. It's not about you. What did I say? What did Rick Warren say? We are here for God, by God, and for God. When we remember our purpose, then situations like Jesus encountered are easy to walk away. We just have to have the right perspective. The truth about who we are and whose we are can and will set us free. Can I get a witness? Amen. Amen. Then the second part of the scripture has Jesus passing this teaching or this attitude or this elevated way of being, this purpose-driven approach to living, to the disciples. He's empowering the disciples to live into their purpose. Jesus gives the disciples authority over the unclean spirits of the day. In other words, Jesus is extending the power to the disciples to be like he was in other settings. We have the same authority as Christians. We have the power too. There are some unclean spirits running around here that we have to deal with. Don't get me started. You know what's going on. We're not going to take the time to go there because we don't want the devil to get the glory this morning. God gets the glory from the pulpit. But we do know that the devil stays busy. I think I preached a sermon about that a couple months ago. The devil stays busy, and there's unclean spirits, and there's things around here that Christians need to stand up and act on and be about our purpose. It's not about us. It's not about us. We can't get caught up in our feelings. We are here to do the right thing. We are created by God for God's purpose. And so wringing our hands and giving in to the demonic spirits and the powers that are running around here is a defeatist attitude, and that is not our purpose. The last few verses of this passage has Jesus teaching the disciples and us how to live a purpose-driven life. Jesus tells the disciples and tells us, don't take any more with you than you need. In other words, travel light. Travel light. Because stuff can weigh us down. If we are connected to the things that make us comfortable and the things that we are attached to, that will keep us from living into our purpose. How many of you have a lot of stuff? We were just talking about moving and purging. See, we have too much stuff. Too much stuff. We have too much stuff. And sometimes we get attached to the stuff and keeping the stuff, and that keeps us from doing what God has purposed us to do. Travel light. Don't take anything more than we need. That's the first thing I see. Jesus telling the disciples, telling you and telling me today. The other thing that Jesus is telling the disciples is to have faith in God. Have faith in God. Faith is what? What is faith? Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. If you see it and you know it and you can control it, that's not faith. As purpose-driven people, we are to walk by faith and not by sight. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. That's what the scripture says. We will not be able to walk or fulfill our purpose if we don't put our faith and trust in God. Travel light and have faith in God. The other thing that Jesus tells his disciples and told me in preparation, and that I'm telling you right now, is if it don't fit, don't force it. If it don't fit, don't force it. That was a song way back in my day. If it don't fit, don't force it. What does that mean? We will go places where people are not ready to receive us. But we must be faithful in our purpose, even in those situations. We are faithful to do what God has called us to do in a situation, but the response and the outcome is up to God. Some plant, some water, but God gives the increase. So we go, we share, we do what we're purposed and called to do, and we trust God to let us know when it's time to leave. And sometimes you just got to leave it and let somebody else finish it. Let those who have ears, let them hear. Amen? So I thank God for Rick Warren and the purpose-driven life and the change that the experience that I had with my family, my church family at the time. I thank God for you and for this opportunity to share about the purpose-driven life. And I thank God for what? The greatest book ever written, the Holy Bible, that gives us the keys to life. If we read it, if we act on it, if we commit to doing a little bit better day by day, to lean, more fully leaning into our purpose, then we will be fulfilled, the world will be a better place, and the demons, the devil, will be defeated. I believe that good will and can triumph over evil. We are the eyes, the ears, the hands, the feet of Jesus. We get to participate. It's a gift to be able to participate in making the world a better place. It's a gift to be on the Lord's side. So we thank God as we transition to communion for the life and the ministry and for the wondrous love of Jesus Christ and what he has done for us. And that Jesus willingly gave up his life while we were yet sinners. And we glory that death could not hold him down or keep Jesus from fulfilling his purpose. And that Jesus, through the power of the Holy Spirit, is present with us right now. Brothers and sisters, all are welcome at the table of the Lord. Here we remember the sacrifice, the love, the grace, the mercy that only Jesus can give to us. At this table, we remember that on the night before he was betrayed, Jesus gathered with his disciples, all of them, friend and foe alike. They all came to the table, put their elbows on the table with Jesus, knowing what was about to happen, but he invited them anyway. So all are invited here. And on that night, he took the bread and he broke it. And then he gave thanks and he said, "Take and eat. This is my body, which is given to you. Do this in remembrance of me." Take and eat. Then after the meal, he took the cup. Poured the wine, gave it to his disciples and said, "Drink from this cup, all of you. And as you drink it, remember that the blood will never lose its power. Remember that I am the new covenant. This we will do, as Jesus commanded, in remembrance until he comes again. Let us drink." Communion is an ordinance of the Baptist Church, a command that we should do this whenever and as often as is necessary to remember the sacrifice and the love that only Jesus Christ can give us. Amen. Now we will sing our closing hymn, "With Grateful Hearts."
Please stand and join me as we sing "Take My Life." We're going to do verses 1, 4, and 5.
And now I send you forth to do the work of the Lord in the community. The benediction. Now all glory to God, who is able through his mighty power at work within us to accomplish infinitely more than we might ask or think. Glory to him in the church and in Christ Jesus through all generations, forever and ever. Amen.